The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above.
We'll get to the NFL tiers as far as how many first-round picks could a player get, or at least a team can get in return for trading a player. We'll get to that here. Some news from the NBA. No punishment for Bam Adebayo in the Tyler Hero Bam Adebayo incident. The players were interviewed. People around them were interviewed. Everyone wants to just move on and not have it become a thing. So that incident from last Friday will result in no punishment for anyone involved. So Bam was the one who was in danger, most likely. Unless we find out something about Tyler Hero at that event, at that incident, because what would have been his punishment other than, hey, your face hurt Bam's hand, you get a game? I guess if the NBA was like, hey, could you not be on a burner account talking about other NBA players, then Kevin Durant would be involved for a potential suspension as well, if that was a rule. So no punishment for the altercation. Everyone's gonna move on. Good news for the Heat, and they have Giannis Day today. Giannis will be introduced to the public as an official member of the Miami Heat. Giannis was at the was he at the France Spain game or the Argentina? He was at the Argentina England game yesterday, and then he made the short trip to Miami from Atlanta for his introductory presser. So his teammate Bobby Portis was traded along with him. Bobby Portis gets the 12 o'clock interview, sit down spot for his presser. Giannis gets the Fox National Game of the Week spot at 3:25, whatever it is. He gets his interview, or excuse me, his sit down presser with the media at 3:25. So that's the NBA news of the day. No punishment for Bam after hitting Tyler Hero. All right, let's get to the NFL tiers, written by Bill Barnwell. This isn't exclusively his opinion. He polled NFL decision makers about this and figured out what they would trade for the stars of the league. We'll start with the Texans, of course. AJ, take a guess. At this moment, you include contracts in all of this because this is what these decision makers do. How many first round picks do you think CJ Stroud would be worth right now?
None. I'd say a second right now.
You said no first rounders.
No, not right now.
You were more down on him than most, at least the NFL executives polled.
Okay.
They didn't allow what happened in the playoffs to completely change their opinion. Two first round picks plus for CJ Stroud right now. Yeah.
Two first-round picks?
And more, like a second or whatever.
Oh, man.
Or whatever it might be.
Okay.
Now they would have to make the decision if they're trading for him at that price point. Then you got to pay him because you're not going to trade multiple first-round picks and then not pay him. So
I can see one, but two?
That is maybe not the consensus, but Bill Barnwell, I will say, he did say he part of his opinion is baked into this, but he did talk to people, and that's where he fell. Two first-round picks plus more, which is the same value of Will Anderson. Edge rusher is a little different as far as value, great player, premium position, but not a quarterback. So that speaks to how much Will Anderson is valued, that even with a quarterback that would require two first-round picks plus more, at least that's what teams would be willing to trade, he matches that value. But it also speaks to how valuable a quarterback is, because we know who's the better player. Who's the better player? The Texans have already decided to pay Will Anderson. They're still waiting on to make that decision on C.J. Stroud. Some other guys for the Texans: Derek Stingley, first-round pick plus more, which probably means the Colts overpaid for Sauce Gardner, we all believe.
Yes.
After year one plus going into year two, Sauce had the advantage as far as the two cornerbacks drafted right after each other. Since that point, it's been all Stingley. So if we just go by what NFL decision makers think, the Colts overpaid, which is good for the Texans that they're giving up more than they should. Other guys that would get first round picks: Nico, Danielle Hunter, Kamari Lassiter. And that makes some sense. Guys who play premium positions, young player in Kamari Lassiter's case. The other two are a little bit older, and they've been paid quite a bit, so the contracts are baked into your decisions. AJ, take a guess at the most valuable player in football as far as age, position, contract. Who would an NFL team pay the most for as far as picks are concerned?
So I'm going to say it was someone that you teased beforehand, Josh Allen.
It is Josh Allen, but that's not the guy I say is overvalued. He is an AFC East quarterback that I obviously don't like because he plays for the Bills. Seven first-round picks sounds crazy.
Seven?
Seven.
Oh, my God.
He's the most, according to the research done by Bill Barnwell, the most valuable player in all of football as far as pick compensation. Seven first-round picks is what a team, at least teams, would be willing to give up. Now, you can't do that. You can't go, although there have been teams who want to remove the limit on how many picks, how far out you can go with picks, but right now you cannot trade seven first-round picks for anyone. Of course, the Bills would not do it. They don't have anyone to replace them. Who do you guess is right there with them?
I'd say another quarterback being Joe Burrow.
It is another quarterback, but it is Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick, okay.
He is coming off the ACL, but he's already moving, practicing. I think he's expected to be part of training camp. Maybe not fully, but he's going to be out there. Patrick Mahomes, seven first-round picks. So those are your top two, top tier. The next guy is the one I got a real problem with. Who do you think it is?
Quarterback again?
Take a guess. What do you think? Six first-round picks, you would assume it's a quarterback. That's how many for this person.
Based on that, I don't know. I guess Lamar.
No, Lamar, you're probably going to think it's undervalued. Drake May.
Oh, yeah. Nah, come on.
Six first-round picks for Drake May. Yeah. What are we doing? Did we just not see the playoffs where he was, for the most part, a negative for the Patriots thanks to other poor quarterback play? His poor quarterback play was overshadowed until we got to the Super Bowl, and we have audio of the Seahawks talking about how they knew what he was going to do, and then he went on to commit multiple turnovers. Six first-round picks. I get it. MVP candidate, young player, rookie deal. I ain't buying it. I ain't giving up six first-round picks for Drake May. No chance.
So is Caleb Williams next?
You would think so, right? You would think so. And that same draft class?
Yeah.
Same draft class, one and two. Those were they were selected.
And three.
Jane Daniels was
second.
Drake was three.
Right.
That was that class of 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks taken, top three overall. Caleb Williams, only four. I don't think there's two first round pick difference between the two, honestly. Mm-hmm. No chance. I mean, do the two first-round pick difference account for the fact that one played in a soft conference, or at least a bad schedule, with Drake May? I don't buy that. I don't think there's two first-round picks difference. But that is what Bill Barnwell has figured out. Justin Herbert went for four. I think the one that might surprise you is Lamar. And Bill Barnwell said, I have a difference of opinion from these guys. I think more highly of Lamar than they do. But Lamar Jackson goes for two first-round picks plus more.
Well, he's clearly better than Herbert, May, all of them right now. So, like,
he is a little bit older than them, but true. I would agree. I don't think he should be going for less than guys that we have just mentioned. But those are just some of the evaluations and some of the opinions of some of the people who are supposed to know who they are, know what they are. They're supposed to know things, I guess I'll put it that way. And Lamar is probably the one, when you talk about quarterbacks as far as being undervalued, that I think is most egregious. Let's go to your Cowboys before we wrap it up. What do you think Dak is worth to NFL decision makers? How many picks will they give up for the Cowboys quarterback? Who's older?
Right, that's what I'm about to say. I'd say right now, I'd just say like around two first rounds.
Not even.
One?
One plus other picks.
It's a bet. Wait on that.
It's a bet. He, along with CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Booker, Quinnen Williams, all are in that one plus whatever else you can strangle out of another team.
Pickens too?
Pickens does not make even one first round pick.
Wow, okay. Their reputation's still there. Right.
Malachi Lawrence, their recent draft picks are in the only one first round pick category. Pickens, who is now confirmed to be playing on the franchise tag, he and Brandon Aubrey don't get first round pick status.
Okay.
It's tough. That's tough. We'll see if the Cowboys go long term with Pickens, or they let him go after this year, or get him on another franchise if they want to, I guess. But there it is. That's just a couple of the prominent names that we're focused on here in town, and also some of the quarterbacks who are on the list. Jalen Hurts,
zero.
One plus more. He's in the Dak category, which you may find insulting. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with an odd thing that happened in Pensacola. If you missed it, there's video of it. I don't know why this came about, but someone's doubled down already after the reactions from the public. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
AJ, you've seen either Top Gun or Top Gun 2 Maverick, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you know what Buzz in the Tower is. Mm. Even if you haven't seen the movies, people probably know or heard of it, at least. I've never heard of buzzing the beach. That's what happened with Blue Angels. There's video of the Blue Angels in Pensacola, Florida. Now, it's hard to judge how close they were to the beachgoers because the video shot from down low. You're not quite sure. But the jet was close enough to them that there are reports of babies crying, people's ears hurting after the jet already had left, long after the jet had left. I think the engine for a Blue Angel is like, it rises to 20 decibels over when it's flying at the height it was flying, 20 decibels over when your ears start to hurt. So it did cause some damage to people. There's no real explanation for why it did buzz the beach. Pete Hegseth has said, "We will continue to do flyovers until morale improves." I'm not sure if that's morale of everyday Americans or people with the Blue Angels, but either way, I've never seen that before. I've seen things where accidents happen at air shows and things not expected lead to a potential horror for the watching audience, but it was just far too close for anyone to ever want to have it be the case. The Blue Angels buzzing Pensacola Beach and it leading to people complaining about ear pain and babies crying because of it. So we'll see. We'll see if you're at Galveston this weekend. If you see a fighter jet, if you see a fighter jet fly over your head in Galveston this weekend, it's because morale is low. And until morale improves, those flyovers will continue. Just imagine you're at Tillman's Pleasure Pier and you go, what's that noise? And then you see a Blue Angel fast approaching. We'll see. We'll see if it happens at any local beaches around the country as the summer continues. Let's get to this. So we had Garrett on. He is likely better known as Houston Stressins on Twitter. He filled in for John this morning with Lance, myself, and Glenn Davis. Glenn Davis made his daily appearance. So we didn't have a full show, but we had enough. We got it done. And it got into the Texans and what their approach will be this off. What the upcoming season due to what they did this offseason as far as additions. And AJ and I talked about it once I found a couple stories before this show started. So the Texans' approach, at least what they want us to believe, is their offensive line is good enough that they're going to run the football with David Montgomery, their acquisition this offseason, probably their biggest. Unless you think it's Braden Smith or Wyatt Teller. Trading for Dave Montgomery is part of a plan. They're likely trying to do the thing that they did with Joe Mixon. Have a strong running game. Allow for your defense to go win you games and make it easier on your quarterback. That seems to be what is being discussed. Whether they think that way or not, that is what we're being fed. Earlier this offseason, there were several different publications ranking the Texans' offensive line. They didn't rank any better than maybe 27th in all the things I saw, whether it be ESPN or Warren Sharp. Warren Sharp had them at like 31. So I don't think they rose above the 26th or 27th best offensive line in football, which means unless offensive line play has taken so many steps forward that the 27th best offensive line is actually a good one, The national perspective is the Texans aren't going to be good. They haven't done enough to be good on the offensive line, which might lead to a less than stellar running game. Now I got more information about it. AJ already knows because we talked about it. But before I reveal, you guys take a guess how PFF ranks Dave Montgomery. Maybe it matches up with what you think of him. But before I give it to you, just think, how good of a running back do you think David Montgomery is? He's a name we know. He's had a productive career, first with Chicago and then with Detroit. His role lessened because they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. That's an explosive player. Detroit loves explosive plays. That's why you have J-Mo. That's why you have Laporta. That's why you have Jahmyr Gibbs. You can throw in one of the top five receivers in football, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, Detroit, we know, explosive offense, and that's what Garrett said he hopes for the Texans. Don't scoff in there. I know you're thinking it, AJ. He hopes that run the football, have CJ play the Jared Goff role, and just distribute the ball to your guys on the outside. The problem I have with that hope, and in some ways a dream, fantasy maybe even. Let's say Nico is your number one, whether you want to position him, even though they do different things, the Amon-Ra St. Brown. You want to give him that? Okay. You got your number one wide receiver. That's a good comp. Now, where are all the other favorable comps for the Texans to the Lions? You don't have a J-Mo. You hope that some combination of Higgins, Dell, and Noel become that. You certainly don't have a Gibbs. You traded for the guy who was made less impactful because of Jahmyr Gibbs. You don't have a Sam Laporta. You have a free access. That's Dalton Schultz. For people who don't know, it's my nickname for him because I feel like all his yards come because no one's covering him. He just jogs 8 yards off the line of scrimmage and turns around, finds a soft spot in his zone, catches the ball, and he falls forward for a couple more yards. That's what I feel like I see when I look at Dalton Schultz. That's not what Sam Laporta does. So I don't see the comp. Hopefully, Garrett is right. And there is a Lions-like approach to offense, and it works out for him. So I asked you guys to guess where you think PFF ranked Dave Montgomery. They rank him 26th. They think he's the 26th best running back in football. Now, there are plenty of good running backs. I just mentioned one in Gibbs, Achan, among others, Kenneth Walker. They're good. And then you got the top of the top with Bijan and Derrick Henry. So, yes, good running backs everywhere. Throwing Christian McCaffrey, Saquon. Of course, good running backs. But he's ranked behind Jaylen Warren and Bucky Irving, Chase Brown. Ashton Dinty, that's got to just be off of what they think he's going to be because there's nothing that happened last year. He's only ranked 20th, by the way. Tony Pollard, who didn't have a great year with the Titans. He was fine, but not great. It was his career low ranking from PFF. They got him behind a rookie who's done nothing in Jeremiah Love. Cam Scadabo, they got him behind. I don't think he's worse than some of these guys. But then again, I'm not a numbers guy. That's Lance and PFF. So my point being, the Texans may be right, and nationally people may be wrong about what they've done to enhance what they hope is a productive offense. But everywhere I turn, when I read something, the things they're allegedly going to base their offense on this year are well below average. We're talking bad. And it's tough to put Dave Montgomery there because there are a lot of running backs. So, and it's one guy behind 20-some running backs who could be good themselves. You could have a good running back and just fall lower on the list. But to be ranked the 31st offensive line means you stink. There are not that many good offensive lines. So I hope the Texans are like Jaylen Brown. They're the smartest people in the room. The Texans don't have the ability to say, well, there are a lot of dumb teams, like Jaylen Brown pretty much said about the sports. Yeah, it's not that hard to be the smartest guy when it's filled with people who play sports. But currently, it is a far more positive line of thinking about the offense and what they've done locally than it is nationally. I joke about calling them the Houston Hawkeyes because they want to run the ball and play defense. I got the national media telling me, you wish you were the Hawkeyes. You wish you could run the football like the Hawkeyes do. That can't be the case. With all the assets and money they've put into who they want to be, they got to be the ones who have figured it out while everyone else is behind. We will see. 31st ranked offensive line. That is disrespectful. We'll see if the national media is right about that. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. If you want to join us, you can. 713-780-3776 is the number. Oh, one thing that is good, Nico Collins, top 8 wide receiver in football, according to ESPN. Is he behind two Cowboys? Yes, he is. With CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens coming in at 6th and 7th. According to ESPN, best receiver in football, Ja'Marr Chase. You're not going to get an argument from me. You can throw in Jackson Smith and Jigba for what he did, Puka. There are a lot of good receivers. Nico in a good group at 8. Do you have a differing opinion, AJ, about the best receiver in football?
Oh no, not the best, but I have some issues with the list. Yeah,
Who do you think should be higher or lower?
Amon-Ra is not better than CD.
All right, there it is.
Or Puka, but anyways.
All right, there it is. You can argue with Jeremy Fowler if you want. We'll be back. Or at Marquee. So it has IMAX. It could do top IMAX, but it doesn't. So that feels like the choice if you don't want to drive to Dallas or can't. Maybe you do, but you can't. Looks like Houston Marquee is the one for you. Still too far out of the area for me. I think I've made my choice. I got a real feeling it'll be like Saturday night at Cinemark 18. I got a real feeling. Or matinee tomorrow. You know what? We got East River 9 tomorrow. I can head out right from East River 9 and head over to my local Cinemark or AMC 30. We'll see what I choose. We've got a caller, Tyler, who called in and said he's going to Dallas. So I mentioned some NBA news from earlier where Bam Adebayo won't be punished by the NBA for punching Tyler Hero. The NBA is going to investigate the Gary Trent deal. That is apparently according to ESPN. They're going to look into it. They want an explanation. Just like all of us, I think the initial reporting was a team would have to make a complaint, and these teams don't want to get involved because who knows what they might be up to in terms of making promises to players if they sign a below market deal with them and then making good a little bit later, or at least the next offseason. It is the theory for the Chris Paul trade with the Rockets, that Chris Paul did what he needed to do to make that deal and trade work, and then the Rockets promised him, hey, you do this for us, when it's time to pay you, we'll pay you. That was the soft allegation that didn't amount to anything. Shams is reporting, hey, the NBA thinks you're playing in our faces by giving Gary Trent Jr. 4 years, $64 million after how terrible he was last year. If you don't know the scenario, in their desperation to keep Giannis, see how that worked out for them. In their desperation to keep Giannis, the Bucks not only waived and stretched Dame and brought in Miles Turner, they signed Gary Trent Jr. to a deal that fell below what people expected him to make. And they're like, I guess they convinced Gary Trent Jr. to try to win a title with Giannis. Good deal for the Bucks. It all went wrong for the Bucks. Giannis didn't play very many games. Gary Trent Jr. was bad. They don't make the playoffs. And they trade Giannis in late June. By the way, Giannis's presser for the Heat, introductory presser, is today. So that happens. And then today it's announced that the NBA says, this looks weird. We're going to look into it. We'll see if Clutch, who is the agent or the representatives of Gary Trent Jr., we'll see if they have anything to say about it. They're currently in the midst of their Where's LeBron Going to Go tour. So they have some other pressing concerns. Now they have this one. What did you and the Bucks come to an agreement on last offseason? And why is Gary Trent Jr., who could be looked at as one of the worst shooting guards in basketball last year, getting 4 years, $64 million? How did that come about? The NBA has taken forever with the Kawhi Leonard investigation. I think they hired an independent investigator to figure that out. Adam Silver earlier, either this week or last week, said this investigation needs to come to an end before the season is over, which got people upset. Like, wait a minute, don't you control the investigation? That is what people assume, but that is not what is happening. They let someone else dig into it, maybe to avoid what looks like impropriety, because he does work for the, as they call themselves, the governors. He actually works for Steve Ballmer. So maybe he didn't want to be seen as someone who could be influenced by his boss. So they got an independent agency to do it. We'll see what happens. That's why the Kawhi Leonard trade to Toronto isn't official. While Giannis is being introduced today, Kawhi can't. He was seen in Toronto immediately after. He got applauded by the Toronto Blue Jays fans as he made an appearance at a game. He was at Kyle Lowry's retirement press conference. He is still not a Raptor because the Raptors are holding off. They want to see what happens here. And will Kawhi even be able to play for him? Will that contract be voided? What's going to happen as far as the aspiration investigation? Now the NBA has another investigation as far as potential cap circumvention. That's 2-1 offseason that they're dealing with. Pablo Torre didn't have anything to do with this one. The Kawhi one you could put at his feet, but this is just obvious to everyone. Everyone reacted to the Gary Trent news like, what the hell is this? I mean, it's just opposite ends of the spectrum. In not just the Kawhi thing, but you watch Tari Eason respond, not just today, but when his contract, right before his contract was announced, he didn't seem too thrilled. I got to imagine Gary Trent Jr. is like, hey, is there a way you don't report this? Is there a way we just keep this quiet? Because he had to have been thrilled. Although, if it is what it appears to be, he was promised something to come in on the cheap last year. But this is one where you're like, hey, Shams, let's not talk about it. But I think this is one of those where you can tell that Shams was given the news by Clutch, because I think he mentioned Clutch in the tweet, something people have harped on this offseason. Oh, I'm glad to hear that insert agent made this deal happen. What a deal by the agent. No one cares about that, but it's a information business and you got to do favors. And how do you find out the news before anyone else? You mentioned the agent in your tweet. If Clutch had to do it all, had to do it differently, perhaps ask Shams not to tweet about it, because now look at you. I'm interested to see if there's anything that comes of this, because if you think the Dorian Finney-Smith deal was terrible for the Rockets, at least he was a productive player the year before they made the deal, and they had to pay the Hornets in second round picks to get off of him. So many real Grand Vipers that won't be Rockets because of that trade. Think about what the Bucks fans had to deal with. First, your franchise cornerstone out. And however you think of these Heat players, whether you love the youth, whether you love the picks you got back, that's one thing. But you had to imagine with all the guards that came back in the trade, you were done with Gary Trent Jr. And then you either see a notification or you check online or one of your buddies texts you from your Bucks group chat. Got to be a sad group chat. Hey, we just brought back Gary Trent Jr. You might have, oh, no, I don't want him back. And then your buddy tells you or sends in the tweet from Shams or in the group chat, 4 years, $64 million. That's got to be misery. Look, English fans are miserable. Understood. Bucks fans, they may not be right below them, but this offseason has had to stink, other than the fact that you now have two first-round picks you can hope turn out to be something, thanks in part to the trade you made with the Heat. So will there be a punishment? It involves Clutch. Can they sanction Clutch? Can you sanction a agency for being involved in what appears to be clear SAP circumvention? I don't know that Adam Silver wants to take on Clutch. It'll be interesting to see. He wants to take on Adele's fiance. That's how I think of Rich Paul, by the way. Sure, NBA agent, cool. But the most remarkable thing he's ever done, at least for me, engaged to Adele. Maybe more surprising is where I'd put it. It's not something I would have seen coming, but it's real. The best thing for a Bucks fan is for this deal to be voided, and for his troubles, your GM gets fired, just to keep him from making any other moves. We'll see if what he got back for Giannis works out for him. But giving that player, like a score only guard who didn't even score, $64 million over 4 years, and you got to be locked in with a bad player for 4 years. If I'm a Bucks fan, it's like, get him out. Because what's going to happen? You're going to have to do what the Rockets did with Dorian Finney-Smith. You're going to have to give up assets to get off of him. And why do you want to be paying Gary Trent Jr. and playing him when you've got all these young players you'd much rather play? All right. I thought that deal wasn't going to get investigated, but this one, it's too much, too far. So the NBA will look into it. All right, we got one more segment to go. We're still open to calls if you want to do that. We've got Rich Eisen when we come back. Not when we come back, but once this show's over. And also, Will Kunkel, still filling in for Jeremy. He'll be with Joe from 3 to 6. That's later. The immediate later is our final segment. We'll get to that when we come back.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we're at East River 9 tomorrow. Just speaking to my complete blind spot for golf. Yesterday I was like, I don't even know exactly why we're out there. Normally we're out there for a major. Turns out it's the British Open. We're out there because I knew it's always a major golf tournament. I just did not lock in on what actual tournament it was. It is the Open Championship, as it's called. We got an American at the top of the leaderboard, and that's your update, because that's all I got. That's all I'm going to give you. Join us at East River 9. Birdies opens at 10. That's their clubhouse / restaurant. You want to get some great food, some drinks. I got a full bar. Also, outside, they got pickleball. The golf course is there. The driving range. I mean, if you do get there early, the doors will be open. So if you just want to watch me and Lance do a show and stare, we have someone who does that. If you want to do that, you can. But if you're actually looking to have something to eat, they open at 10 tomorrow. And we always have a good time out there. The entire station will be out there from 7 to 6. I think we have a, because normally we do have a Rich Eisen replacement at that time, since we're going to be out there all day. And it is Sarge. Sarge is out there. Is DJ Bienname out there with them? I know at least Sarge will be out there at East River 9. So it's going to be a full day for the station. So it'll be local from 7 to 6 out there, with Will Kunkel filling in for Jeremy as Jeremy continues his vacation. We got four guys on vacation. John, Sean, Jeremy. I added four because I just was hoping that I was too. At least that's the dream. I was actually discussing that with someone yesterday, because I always forget. Like, I'm reminded to go on vacation when I see someone else out. I was trying to think. It was Christmas last time, and that's normally what I do. I take a Christmas holiday vacation, and then I take a summer one. But you actually have to put in the request, and I guess I'll do that here soon. I do want to remind people that if you want to be part of our fantasy football league for ESPN I-75, that'll be a thing we do. Well, the lead up will be coming up here shortly, but the actual trip to the Gold Nugget, where you get the hotel and then you have the live fantasy draft with us, that'll be August 27th. We'll do the. I think we'll do the show that day there, and that's when you guys, if you happen to be selected, will be out there. So, if you're planning or at least considering it, August 27th is a big day. So keep that in mind if you guys want to be part of that. I know it was a good time last year for people, and we're gonna start the giveaways next week. We'll have four of them. It looks like it'll all be Thursday. But you got to commit to being able to be there on the 27th. So the 23rd, the 30th, the 6th, and the 13th, those are the days for the giveaway. So just be aware. If you want to be part of it, if you just missed out on it last year, or you were part of it last year, you want to do it again, those are the days where we're going to be doing the giveaways. And I talked to Joe about it yesterday. I think it'll be, you guys have to answer a question off air. I'll get your information so you can blame me, I guess, if you win and the information gets lost. I already know what's going to happen. Someone will win. I'll get their information. I'll send it over to Joe. And if Joe doesn't get to them immediately, they're going to call in and go, hey, I won. What's up? You're excited. I get it. But trust. Look, sometimes things fall through the cracks. I get it. That's possible. But wait more than 24 hours. In fact, if it happens, it'll happen on next week, Thursday. Don't even call in Monday. Give us to the next giveaway. Give us to that next Thursday. And if you haven't heard anything, then while we haven't expressly said when you would be contacted, considering the event's not till the 27th, for my own benefit, because the intern will answer the call, whoever it is, and then I'll have to explain. Just think of your old pal Dell and the intern who has to answer. give us at least a week. And if you haven't been contacted, then you can call in. Still a little early. You'll still be like a month and a half early, or at least about a month or so. But, you know, give us some time. We'll get you set up, and we'll do that starting next weekend. It'll be two-night stay at the Golden Nugget, a $200 food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. I remember last year, John berated, surprisingly, a Cowboy fan. So if you don't mind being yelled at by Granato, or maybe you would love to be yelled at by Granato, that's even more benefit to winning. So it'll all be available for you, from the DraftKings Sportsbook to the Great Casino to all the restaurants there that they provide. I would recommend Lily's, their Asian bistro. That's my place. I go there every time I'm at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. And you know the deal. You've heard from John. Depending on where you live, just about 2 hours and 15 to 30 minutes, you get all the benefits of the Vegas casino without having to get on a plane. So we'll do that here. We did it last year. We'll do it again this year. And we'll see who comes out on top. Now I got to study fantasy football. Speaking of blind spots, now I got to get into it. It is not something I focus on, but now you want to be part of the game. You want to be successful, so I got to do that. So be on the lookout for that starting next week. The Astros get back in action tomorrow. So final day of the break from the All-Star game. And if we remember, back on Sunday, they lost the final game of that series in the first half on not such a great note. And I take it back. And there's a game today. It'll be the Mets versus the Phillies. But the full schedule is going to take place starting tomorrow. And it's the Orioles in town. And it'll be the first time since when? Are we going back to 2015? The Astros will play a game where Lance McCullers isn't part of the organization. I say that because there have been a lot of times where he wasn't part of the roster because of injury. But it's been a long time since you could say the Astros are playing baseball and Lance McCullers isn't part of the organization. But that era is over. It ended yesterday in a trade that involved Colton Gordon, and you get back a famous baseball name, but a player just starting their MLB career in Jaden Fielder. Yeah. At least on the major league level, Lance McCullers began his career with the Astros in 2015. So it's the end of his time here. And hopefully whatever happens in Milwaukee benefits Lance, because what you can say about him beyond all the stuff that didn't work out, not a bad word from anyone about Lance McCullers. So he was well liked, and he did the Astros a favor. He could have said, no, I don't want to get traded. The Astros said it would help them. He said, okay. He waived the no-trade clause, and that's why he is a Brewer. That'll wrap it up for us today. Thanks to AJ. We'll do it again tomorrow. I'll be out at East River 9. You can join us out there, as I said, or listen to us like you normally listen to us. Since we're done for the day, AJ, what's it going to be? He laughed in Toronto. I remember he was wearing a Toronto Raptor jersey. We'll see if he actually gets to wear it again, as that trade is still being held up. All right, Rich Eisen up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.